I'm still on the sword of the Spirit. Does anyone remember what the sword of the Spirit is? It's the Word of God. Now when the Apostle Paul says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he's talking about the Scripture. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the inspired Word of God.
Yes.
He's talking about God's written Word.
Yes, sir.
That's the sword of the Spirit. And last week, I looked at the fact from the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the sword conquers and brings the mind into subjection to the person and work of Christ. This is what the Word of God does.
Yeah.
The Word of God is meant to bring the elect to subjection to Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. The preaching of Christ is vital.
Yes, sir.
There are a lot of people who talk about preaching the Bible, preaching the Scripture, preaching the Word of God, but they rarely ever mention Jesus Christ's person and work. That's not preaching the Word.
Yeah.
Why is it vital? Why is it vital to preach the Word? The Apostle Paul puts it this way, and this is where I'll start this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's why it's vital. This is why it's vital. This is why it's important. This is why it's necessary. But the necessity is not based upon something God had to do. And I hope this verse will show what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let me begin in verse 21. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. There's the key point right there.
Yes, sir.
It pleased God. It's not God had to do it this way. It is that it pleased God to do it this way.
Yes, sir.
And what did it please God to do? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
Now let me say, God could have come down. He could have come down. He could come down, had he so purposed to do, and revealed personally and directly the truth of Christ to every individual, even as he did to Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
There was nobody preaching to Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham didn't hear someone else preach. God preached directly to Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
But that is not the normal mode of operation in the purpose of God. As the Apostle Paul says, why? Because it pleased God. God wanted to do it this way.
Sure.
One of the reasons is God uses, and you mentioned it, Joe, earthen vessels.
Yeah.
The glory in the vessel is the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it has this in earthen vessels. Why? So that the power and the excellency might be of God.
Amen.
And not of us.
Amen.
But here's the point. It pleased God to save by gospel preaching. Now you heard what I said? That's the whole context. Look, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But what kind of preaching?
Yeah, exactly.
Look. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach what?
Yeah.
Christ crucified.
Amen.
That's the message. That's what it's all about. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It offends the Jews' sense of self-worth,
yes, sir.
Self-righteousness, self-goodness. But unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, what? Foolishness. It offends the Greeks' sense of their wisdom and integrity.
Oh, yeah.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, what is it? Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
So we see it didn't just please God to save just by preaching, but it pleased God to save by the preaching of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message about Jesus Christ. Think about this. Or let me just give you this. There are those who believe God saves people through men getting up and preaching, but they preach against sin. And when you preach against sin, then men and women are convicted concerning their sin, then they turn from sin. But that's not the salvation that the Scripture speaks of. It certainly may, or not may, it certainly has a part in the Word of God, but the message to be preached is not sin, it's Christ.
Amen.
That's the message. You and I could turn from our sins all day long. If we miss Jesus Christ, we've missed it all. If I could preach in a manner, and there are those who do, to get men and women to turn from their sins.
Yeah.
And don't they people do that?
Well.
Men preach against sin. They preach against adultery, against theft, against drunkenness. And countless thousands of people turn away from those things.
Yeah.
Do they not?
Yeah.
But that in and of itself is not salvation.
Exactly.
Salvation, that is through the preaching of a message, has to be the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it pleased God.
Amen.
To do it this way.
Yeah.
Now, the message of Christ must be heard because the gospel of Christ draws faith out. Let me put it another way. The message of Christ must be heard because the gospel of Christ draws faith into action.
Yes.
Three things. I want to give you a precedent, and actually I want to add this, the precedent. That means something that, a truth that must precede everything else. If you miss this part, you're going to be wrong in everything else that follows.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about this message of Christ, must be heard because the gospel of Christ draws faith out. It draws faith into action. There first is a precedent about this faith being drawn out. Then there is the source of faith. What is the source of faith? That's an important question, is it not? What is the source of faith? And then I want to look at faith realized. That is, faith actually drawn out, as I'm stating it. First, the precedent. Hebrews chapter 4. And it's not a lengthy word. It's not a lot of detail. But there is one vital key point here that some people miss.
Yeah.
And in missing this point, they go astray in all other points.
Exactly.
To some degree or another. Some go astray further than others. But here it is. Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. So what's he talking about? The same thing the Apostle Paul was talking about when it said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And it's preaching a specific message.
Yes, sir.
Right? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Look, here's the precedent.
Yeah.
But the word preached did not profit them because they were not elect. Is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
That's not what it says. That's not the context. We must not read into this something that may still be true, Joe. That is, the word preached doesn't profit the reprobate. But that's not the point here, is it? Here's the point. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Amen. Amen.
That's a precedent.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. That tells me that faith must be there first.
Amen.
Before the word preached will be of any spiritual profit.
Yep.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
That's what that says.
Yep.
The word is sometimes translated mingled.
Yep.
When you have two separate things, the word is often used in the Greek of people watering down wine.
Yeah.
Okay? Taking its kick away, you know? And it's mingling. It's what taking two separate things and bringing them together.
Yes, sir.
That's the word we have translated here, mixed or mingle. To take two separate things and bring them together.
Yeah.
But notice, it did the word preached, which is still vital, is it not?
Yes, sir.
It's vital.
Yeah, yeah.
Because why? Because it pleased God.
Amen.
By the foolishness of preaching. To save them. That's why it's vital.
Yeah.
Not because God had to do it this way. But because God wanted to do it this way. And what God wants to do? Scripture says our Lord has done whatsoever he has pleased.
Amen.
But why did it not profit them? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard.
Amen.
What's the opposite of that? Why would it then profit anyone?
Exactly.
It can only profit since faith is what? Already there.
Amen.
That's the only way you can... That's what the writer says. That's the whole meaning of the whole verse. That's a precedent.
Yeah.
Now somebody says, well, God may do it one way one time and another way another time. No. He always does it the same way. It is a common salvation.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? It's common to all that have it.
Exactly.
God saves all of us the exact same way.
Amen.
By the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the same way. There may be different circumstances. There may be different points about the person and work of Christ that God starts one with, that he doesn't start the other with, but it all will concern, to some degree, the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's where it begins at. That's the precedent. Gospel preaching will only profit you if what? It's mixed with faith.
Amen.
In you.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Not being mixed with faith in them. So both faith must be in them. And then the gospel, then what? Invades. And then that's what we read from Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter, knocking down these walls, invading, bringing men and women's hearts and minds and thoughts into subjection to what? The obedience of Christ. Preaching the Word of God has to do with preaching Christ, but preaching the Word of God profits no one unless it's mixed with faith in them when they hear it.
Amen.
Even if they're one of the elect. If that's not true, then the elect would always believe the first time they ever hear the gospel.
Exactly.
But we don't.
That's right. That's
it. I don't know of a one who has, personally. Most of us, Mason, even fought against it because of the flesh. And some of us may have fought against it for months, maybe even years. But when it actually profits is not when the gospel brings faith. It's when the gospel is joined to faith.
Exactly.
Mixed in, mingled with faith in us.
Yep.
That little short verse, that one little verse, and that one short, what is it? One in our English, 9 or 10 words sets the precedent.
Yes, sir.
That no other scripture contradicts. I say that by the authority, not my authority, by the authority of the Word of God itself.
That's right.
See, here's the problem. A lot of people think that somehow you have to convince people that the Word of God is either the Word of God,
yeah,
or you have to convince people that the Word of God is true,
yeah,
or that you have to somehow convince men and women that the truth of Christ is actually true, and that if you can do that, then they can believe.
Yeah.
That's just not so. The word preached, and this is the gospel, not a false message, David.
Yeah.
not a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the seed, the good seed of the Word of God. And it profits no one unless it's mixed with faith.
Exactly.
That's the precedent. Well, someone says, well, I believe faith comes from hearing. Well, you're ignorant then. That's what the Bible says. No, it don't. That's what the King James has in a word. Faith cometh by hearing. And you look at it, and we'll God willing, look at it here in just a moment. The word comes is not there. But we'll talk about that a little more in a moment. That's the precedent. The precedent is the word preached must join up with and find itself mixed in with, mingled in with, stirred up with something that already previously exists in a person. And that's said to be what? Faith.
Amen.
Now here's the precedent. Following that precedent, we must find what is the actual source of faith.
Yes, sir.
According to Hebrews, the same writer, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he gives us the source of faith. Looking, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and just take our out. It doesn't hurt it, but look at what it for what it would really say, the author and finisher of what?
Faith.
Amen. Now, men and women come along and say, well, but he does that through the gospel. That's not what that says, is it?
Right.
Who is the author and finisher, the beginner and the ender, if you will.
Exactly.
That's probably oversimplified, another way of putting it. But who's the one that starts it and holds it all together all the way to the end?
It's it.
Who is it? What is it?
Yeah.
It is a person.
Amen.
The person that we're to look to.
Yes, sir.
And we can only look, how?
By faith.
Looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and finisher of faith.
Amen.
He's the source of faith.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul would put it this way. The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
What Spirit? It's capitalized if you look at it in Galatians 5 verse 22. I'm not going to turn to it.
Yeah.
It's capital. The Spirit, the word Spirit is capitalized. Why? Because it is God's Spirit. It is God Almighty.
Yeah.
And the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of the new nature. I read that passage for years that said the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And you know what I actually thought?
Yeah.
You know what I actually seen in my mind? The flesh lusts against the new nature, and the new nature lusts against the flesh. That's not what it says, is it? What it actually says is the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And Paul says the works of the flesh are clearly manifest, and he gives a list.
Yes, sir.
And if anything you do is on that list, you and I can say, if anything I do is on that list, Joe, I can say, that's the flesh.
That's right.
It ain't God.
Exactly.
Right?
The
works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he starts through that list. And it's not all inclusive, but it gives you a really good idea of what the flesh is, doesn't it? But then he says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The gospel doesn't give you love, it tells you who to love. More importantly, the gospel doesn't give you love, it tells you who loved you.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and what's that next one?
Yeah.
Faith.
Amen.
God Almighty is the source of faith.
Amen.
Even so much so that Paul in Ephesians 2 says faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
Along with grace, and along with salvation.
Amen.
It's the gift of God. So the precedent is, the word preached will not profit you unless it's mixed with faith in you. How are you going to get faith in you? It's got to be the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has to give it to you. And if the Spirit of God gives it to you, and then the gospel is preached to you, then you will profit from it.
Amen.
Now, next, we'll talk about faith realized. Look at Romans chapter 10. Here's the passage that I mentioned. Now, Paul is quite clear in Romans chapter 10. People don't believe something they've never heard about.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
Look at it, Romans chapter 10. And let me begin at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that just throw the door open for everybody?
No.
Most people read that, that's what they think, don't they?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
It just throws the door open for, and all I got to do is say, oh, God, save me. And if I really mean it, He will. Is that what that means? No, because look, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?
Exactly.
See, first of all, you got to believe in Him first.
Exactly.
You see it? You got to believe in Him first. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not, what?
Heard.
This is even, and it's probably not the best word, but this is the natural order of God's creation of humanity. Especially in light of our fall. But it would seem to even be the case in light of Adam, because Adam knew things, but he still had to learn things in the garden. But here's the point. It is the order of God's sovereign purpose that we don't know anything by self-revelation. Nothing comes by self-revelation.
Exactly.
Does it? Nothing comes intrinsically. You know why? Because if it did, we would have whereof to glory.
Exactly.
This is the whole point. This is not something God was stuck with. This is the way God was pleased to do it.
Yes, sir.
You see? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And what's the next one? How shall they hear without a preacher? Why is that necessary? Because it pleased God.
Exactly right.
That's why.
Yeah, that's it.
That's good enough. It's not necessity on deity's behalf, but it is absolutely essential on our behalf.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It pleased God to do it that way. We're stuck with it that way.
Yes, sir.
Whether we like it or not, that's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Because it pleased God for that. All right? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. Now, let me stop. This is the normal mode of operation in the purpose of God. There are a few exemptions. A few. But even then, and I'm going to say, there are a few exemptions to this as it is written directly. We have Balaam, who preached the truth of the gospel of God Almighty and His free sovereign grace. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
And he was an apostate, but he was still sent. Did you know that?
Sir.
Somebody said, well, he shouldn't have went. No, God told him to go.
Yes, sir.
But He told him to go the second time only if they came after him, come looking for him. Balaam decided to go anyway. But he was still what? Still sent. But the Apostle Paul's not talking about those anomalies that are rare in Scripture. And as I said, if someone comes to me and says, well, I've had an anomaly. God visited me in my room last night.
Yeah.
I wouldn't immediately dismiss it.
No.
But every time I've heard somebody say that, they never, ever, what they say God told them in their room is never ever in agreement with what the book says about proclaiming.
Exactly.
You'll see when Balaam preached, go back and look at what Balaam preached.
Yes, sir.
That when God Almighty shows mercy to somebody, they're going to have mercy no matter what you think, say, or do about it.
Amen.
That's free sovereign grace, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's what he preached.
Yes,
he did. How can I curse what God's blessed?
Amen.
That's what he preached, didn't he? That's what he knew.
Yeah.
He knew more than most preachers today, didn't he?
Exactly.
And he was an apostate. But here's the normal mode of operation is, and how shall they preach except they be sent, As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I said this before, and after I did, a person kind of cornered me right back there about where David's sitting afterward and said, "Would you believe in women preachers?" And I said, "Yes. Yes." Because here he's not talking about pastors.
Exactly.
It doesn't say pastors, does it? It doesn't say pastors, teachers. It said what? People who preach, who what? Proclaim.
Exactly.
And any believer can be sent to do that to someone else.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. I mean, we read even in the New Testament of a man and a woman, husband and wife, who preached the gospel to, what was his name? To Apollos, wasn't it? And expounded unto him what? The way of God more perfectly.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not here to try to argue about something. Well, that's just talk about gospel ministers. Who's a gospel minister?
Yeah.
Other than the person that sent.
Exactly.
If God provides the opportunity and the ability to you, wherever you are, I don't care what your gender is, you have proclaimed the gospel of Christ and been sent to do it.
Yes, sir.
How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. It is the good news of peace, not the good news that peace can be had.
Exactly.
It's the good news that peace is done.
As
Paul would put in Ephesians chapter 1, you heard the good news of your salvation.
Amen.
He didn't say you heard the good news you could be saved. You heard the good news that God Almighty had saved some people.
Amen.
That's what you heard.
Yeah.
And unless you're hearing that, you haven't heard the gospel.
Exactly.
And if you have heard that, you still ain't really heard it, and it's not profited you, unless it's mixed with faith in you.
Amen.
And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Notice here Paul equates this believing, having heard.
Yeah.
You're going to hear first.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's the way God ordained it. It's the way it pleased God to do it. But notice Paul equates this believing and calling to what? What does he call it? Obedience. See, most people think, well, I believe, then I obey. No, believing is obeying. Believing is obeying. That's what he's saying. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath, what's the next word?
Believed.
That's where obedience begins. Right there.
Yeah.
Through believing. That's where it begins. What's the first thing the Spirit of God begins to convict the world of?
Yeah.
What does he say? What did our Lord say?
Yeah.
What? What's the first thing? Of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me.
Amen.
That's the major sin of all humanity. Not everybody's a drunk, but everybody's an unbeliever by nature.
Yes, sir.
Not everybody's a thief necessarily, but everybody's an unbeliever by nature. Not everybody's a fornicator or an adulterer or a murderer, but everybody is an unbeliever by nature. And unbelief is not just the lack of belief, it is disbelief. Our word, our translation calls it unbelief. It is disbelief. And people who hear it refuse it. Right? That's unbelief. See, it's not just, I haven't had the opportunity to believe. It's even when men hear it, apart from being mixed with faith, they disbelieve it. They reject it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, even the elect do to start with. Let us not ride on our high horse and talk about how we bowed down to the gospel. No, our walls, our citadel was broken down by one of the weapons of God.
Yes, sir.
In this warfare. And they're still being broken down.
Yes, sir.
My walls, Joe, when God knocks, when the word of God knocks it down, me and my pride and my ignorance, I'll try to start putting it back together.
You're right.
Brick by brick, you know. I feel naked. That's the way God meant for us to be. Naked before him. Castle wall broken down. Faith is, look, we go on. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith, and you look. If you got a King James, is that cometh not in italics?
Yes, sir.
Why? Why is it in italics? Guess why? Because it ain't there.
Exactly.
Now let me say this. The word cometh is not bad if you understand the context of this passage and the precedent and the source of faith. We could say, if you want to use the word, so then faith cometh. It doesn't destroy it, but it's simply been, men have twisted it. Faith comes. Comes how? Comes to fruition. Comes into manifestation.
Yeah.
Comes forth, but not comes into existence.
Exactly.
But yet this is preached as faith comes into existence by hearing.
Yeah, you're right.
Ain't that what a lot of people, most people preach that.
Yeah.
That's, is that what Hebrews 4 verse 2 teaches? Faith comes into existence by hearing? No. Faith must be mixed. Faith must already be in the hearer, and then the gospel come in and be mixed with it in a person before it will profit them. Is that what the Word of God says or not?
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Where's the source of faith? Does the Bible ever say the source of faith is the gospel? No. It says God is the source of faith.
Amen.
Don't be reading this verse and that verse that's way over there in another book talking about another thing and then try to put it all together. Take each writer's words for what they were talking about, period.
Yeah.
That's the way you understand this book. It's what each writer is saying in and of themselves through the inspiration of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And let me say here, for years, I tried to say this was this. Faith comes by hearing, yes. But hearing comes from a word of God. God saved. Faith come into existence. That's not what it says either. Because it's not logos. It's rhema. It's the written word. The spoken word. It's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the scriptures. But it's a message not just about the Bible in general. Or scriptures in general. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And you can't call on him unless you first believe in him.
Amen.
It's a hymn. So he's talking about preaching and hearing about a hymn.
Exactly.
Right? Not about a they. Not about miracles. This is not a debate about Christian liberty. I found myself debating with unbelievers about Christian liberty. It's like debating nuclear physics with a jackass. It's of no value.
Exactly.
The only thing anybody, the only message that's of any value to anyone is the person and work of Christ, and that's only of value if God gives them faith to believe it. So then faith by hearing. Or actually it would be, so then faith by the report. And the report comes from where?
Yeah.
The report has to come from this.
Yes, sir.
It's not men's opinions. It's not men's ideas. It's thus saith the Lord about Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I believe this about Jesus. It doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus. It doesn't matter what I believe about Jesus. It doesn't matter what I think about Jesus. It matters what God's Word says about Jesus. Believing God is to believe the record God gave of his Son. Not what I think he ought to be.
Exactly.
There are things about Christ that offend me. My flesh.
Yeah.
But there are things, those same things, also bring me great joy.
Yes,
why? Because God gave me faith, not just to believe it, but to obey it.
Amen.
My faith is, it is bowing down and saying, let God be true, and let me, along with everybody else, be a liar. Now let me give you this. I got 5 minutes till 12. I didn't say I got 5 minutes to finish. I said I got 5 minutes till 12. I got on the internet, and there was a site I went to. I'm sure there are others like it. Maybe others that are more complete, but that's not the point. On this site, I found it's a Bible site, has the books, you know, or translations and paraphrases. And of the 31 total English, either translations or paraphrases, out of the 31. And I mean, you can go to each version and look at it, you know, word for word, what it says. It even has Swahili. I just can't read Swahili, so it don't do me no good to read those. I mean, that's That's another this thing. You want to hear, but you're going to hear with your own language, your own understanding. God's not going to come down. Well, I believe I can speak in tongues. Well, what good is it if you don't understand it?
Exactly.
See, that's the whole... Tongues are not gibberish. They're a language. But that I don't want to get into that. That's not here. Not the point here. Out of the 31 total, there are only three that are correct. The King James Version is wrong. Cometh doesn't exist in there. Now somebody said, well, maybe it's in one of those other manuscripts. No, this is one of those places where even the majority text and the minority text all agree. There is no disagreement in the New Testament. Every whole manuscript or every piece of paper, a little piece, or every quote that is even of Romans 10 and verse 17, none of them have this word cometh. And that's why you see right here, cometh is in italics. Because it's not about where it comes from. Well, that's usually where we think of come, we think of source, don't we?
Yeah.
Notice, that's not what he said. So then faith, what? By the report. It's not even the hearing. The word here is not even hearing. It's faith comes out. It has to be proclaimed. He's still making the same point. Because he goes on, next verse, but I say, have they not, it's a different word now, heard.
Yes, sir.
Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth. But basically, as it says, the same thing as Hebrews, but it didn't profit everybody who heard it.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
But here's it is. Here's these three total. Or 31 total. Three of them were correct. Here's the Wycliffe Bible. This is all English translations. Therefore, faith of hearing, but hearing by the word of Christ. That's a good translation. Young's literal translation. It was a second one. So then faith by a report, and the report through a saying of God. That's a good translation. The next one is the Darby translation. So faith then by a report, but the report by God's word. The whole point is, you're not going to believe. Faith will not be made manifest. It won't be drawn out. It won't be visible. It can't be seen or realized, is the word I used, until you hear the gospel. But the gospel is going to be a particular message. It's going to be the message about the person and work of Christ. You can believe in creation all day long and still die and go to hell.
You're right.
You see? You can believe that the flood, Noah's flood, was real and that everybody died but eight people and still die and go to hell.
Exactly.
The scripture doesn't even try to use empirical evidence to prove that it's inspired. It just says through inspired writers, I am inspired. That's all it does. It doesn't argue the point. It doesn't belabor the point. It doesn't try to debate the point. The point is simply made. Why? Because God Almighty's got to convince you this is His word. That's why. He's got to give you faith. That when you hear this word, it will be mixed with that faith and it'll profit you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know some people, but that leaves it all up to God. You're starting to come around. If you can at least acknowledge that. It is all up to God. That's the whole point. So there's the three translations. Here's two decent ones. These are paraphrases. They're not translations, but they're paraphrases. This is MSG. It's not something you put in your food. It's the Message Bible. And it is a paraphrase now. Remember, this is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. The point is, they say, the point is, before you trust, you have to listen. That's not bad. Well, that's what it's talking about. Before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's a paraphrase, but that's pretty good. I like that. Now, that doesn't mean I believe, I don't know what all else it says. It doesn't matter. That's pretty good. Here's the worldwide English, the New Testament only. Yeah, it's a paraphrase. So people believe because they hear. They hear because people tell them about Christ. There it is. That's what he's saying. And people try to confound this and try to use, well, let me put this verse in with that one and add this. No, here's the way it stands. The precedent is this. The gospel is preached to a lot of people, but it don't profit them. Not because of a lack of election. Huh? Our Lord Jesus Christ's brother, one of his brothers was named James. He actually wrote one of the books of the New Testament. But he didn't believe that Christ was truly the Christ at first. And if anybody, he was one of the elect, as was revealed later, Joe. But he didn't believe him at first. And if anybody could preach the truth about himself, I would have thought it would have been who? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because even what Christ said to his brother didn't profit his brother until that message was mixed with faith in him that heard it. Where did it come from? It come from God directly.
Amen.
And people get mad at us because we teach this.
Yep.
Go figure. Now you know why? Because that shuts down any credit on man whatsoever. That's why they don't like it, even if they believe in free sovereign grace. So people believe because they hear. They hear because people tell them about Christ. Again, I realize that's a paraphrase. But that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul is saying here, no more, no less.
That's it.
He's not going on to deeper and greater things. He's talking about you can't call. Whoever calls will be saved, but you got to believe first. You know what he says? And before you can believe, you got to hear. And you'll hear because God sent someone to you with that message. Every one of us here this morning that is saved, had that happen to us. If you haven't, you're not saved.
That's it.
And that's not mean. I'm not trying to be belligerent. It's just a fact.
That's it.
Now if you say, but God taught me this himself. If you believe he taught you this himself, that's fine.
Yeah.
But most people who Christ visits personally don't have the same kind of faith Abraham had because they don't walk in the steps of the faith that Abraham had.
That's right.
No. Faith flows from hearing. It flows from hearing. It's made manifest from hearing. It joins with the gospel when heard inside a person, because the gospel invades. Paul said, you didn't hear our gospel in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance.
Amen.
And what happened? Because you became followers of us and the Lord. And is Paul saying they personally followed him? No, he said us. God's people believe the same message, the same Christ, the same gospel, because that's what they heard, and being mixed with faith, it profits them. We don't say this to be mean to people who don't have faith. We say this to encourage those who do have faith and find the gospel breaking down their citadels, casting down their imaginations, bringing their thoughts into subjection to Christ, and we're saying, aha, there's one who is one of God's sheep. The gospel profits you. How do I know I'm one of God's? That's what Paul said, knowing, brethren, your election of God. Why? Because the gospel got a hold of me in a way that it didn't get a hold of everybody.
Exactly.
That's why.
That's it.
And not just got a hold of me, Joe. Not because I quit drinking when it got a hold of me.
No.
You may or may not quit drinking.
Yeah.
Now I know that's going to be totally opposite of what some people preach.
Yeah.
But that's just fact. It ain't because I heard the word of God and decided to quit committing fornication. David didn't. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
It ain't license, it's a fact.
Exactly.
People say, well, you're saying if we sin. No, I'm saying you will sin even after you believe.
Amen.
You will sin. God's word says you will sin.
Amen.
It says if you say you don't, you're a liar. You make God out to be a liar. No, people hear this word. The gospel comes in and it conquers, it breaks down, but only if faith's already there. Remember, the sower goes forth to sow the word of God.
Yep.
That's anybody who's sent.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter who it is. That's not the point. It's not the who, it's the what's being preached.
Yes, sir.
That's what matters. And the sower goes forth to sow, and it falls on four different types of ground. And the last one and the only truly beneficial one is what? It falls on good ground.
Amen.
The good seed is good seed.
Yes, sir.
It has life in and of itself,
yep.
But it doesn't make ground anything.
Exactly.
it falls on ground as it is.
That's right.
And our Lord explained it that way when He explained it. He splanified it for His own.
Exactly.
He said, the good ground are those who, having heard the word in a good and honest heart, not getting the good and honest heart from the word. God creates the good and honest heart. There's the faith. The ability to believe.
Yes.
And God creates that good ground. And when that seed falls on that good ground, it does what? Mixes.
That's right.
And that's what the scripture, it mixes. And what happens? It profits. It brings forth fruit. Some more than others, but fruit everywhere.
Amen.
If you lack fruit,
yeah,
it's because you're not the proper ground. If you're the proper ground and the gospel falls on you, it'll bring forth. And what is that fruit? Love,
yeah,
joy, peace, long-suffering. How do I know I'm one of God's? Because the gospel got a hold of me and bowed me down to Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's how I know. And that, you know, that's why it's called faith. That's why it's called believing. I have no other proof. No other proof. The only proof I have is this. I believe God's word. I know I'm one of the elect. Why? Because I've seen my name in the book. No. But I've seen the faith of those that God saves in this book. And David, my faith's like their faith.
Exactly.
Because God gave it to me. And sent somebody to me with the gospel. And it conquered me and brought me down. That's the truth of God's word. That's the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Right there. Father, I pray that these things you would teach us, not me. We speak these things, but it's the Holy Spirit that must teach these things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And Lord, knowing that we're not ashamed, as Paul so aptly was moved by you to say, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because therein is your righteousness revealed, but it is revealed from faith to faith only. Father, bow us down to that. Encourage us by it and give us that hope and peace and joy that passes understanding. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.